Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this, the words in this particular hymn as we prepare to hear your word. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see glimpses of truth that you have for us. Place in our hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set us free. Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable before you and your people. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I had a great idea this week of something I was going to do, and I'm going to describe it to you rather than do it, simply because I don't want to walk around too much, because it involved walking. I wanted to come down in the crowd and pick somebody out, one of you, and ask you the same questions that Jesus asked, but in this case of me. So if I were to come down and ask somebody, what does the community at large say who I am? Now, keep in mind that generally speaking, when I'm in public, I wear my collar. And I do it for a reason. So the answer would normally be, well, you're a minister, because ministers wear collars. I probably would more likely get the word priest, because I get that when I go to the hospital. Thank you, Father, for coming today. And I've given up explaining as they walk past. Yeah, you're blessed, whatever. But what would happen if I came down into the crowd here today and picked out somebody in particular and said, who do you say I am? You might respond, well, you're my minister. And then you got the easy answer. But it also could put you on the spot. Because here I am standing right in your face, all of you, I'm looking out there. Who do you say I am? And that's what happened in this particular case with Jesus. Jesus looked into the faces of his disciples, and there were quite a few of them at this point still, and said, that's nice what you've said about what other people are saying about me. We'll look at that in a second. But who do you think I am? Who do you think is standing before you at this very day? Our perception of who Jesus is in our lives makes all the difference, because it frames completely how we see the whole world. It creates our worldview as Christian believers. How we treat, as James warns us, when we speak to one another, has an effect of others, and what we speak should be the result of our relationship with how we see Jesus. Again, ultimately reflecting how we treat Jesus. And I found this little story that I thought was very, very good and applies in so many cases, but I wanted to use it today. A young lady named Sally took a seminary class taught by Professor Smith, who was known for his elaborate object lessons. One day, Sally walked into the class to find a large target placed on the wall with several darts resting on a nearby table. Professor Smith told the students to draw a picture of someone they disliked or someone who had made them angry, and he would allow them to throw darts at that person's picture. Sally's friend on her right drew a picture of another woman who had stolen her boyfriend. Another friend on her left drew a picture of his younger brother. Sally drew a picture of Professor Smith, putting a great deal of detail into her drawing, even little marks and whatnot that she noticed on his face. She was quite pleased at the overall effect that she'd achieved. The class lined up and began throwing darts amidst much laughter. Some of the students threw with such force that they ripped apart their targets. And Sally, looking forward to her turn, was filled with disappointment when Professor Smith asked all the students to return to their seats so he could begin his lecture. As Sally fumed about missing her chance to throw darts, the professor began removing all the targets off the wall, one layer at a time. And finally, underneath the target was a picture of Jesus. A hush fell over the room as each student viewed the mangled image of their Savior. There were holes and jagged marks covering his face, and his eyes were virtually pierced out. And Professor Smith said only these words, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are the members of my family, you did it to me." How we see other people is how we see Jesus, because Jesus is in the faces and lives of the people around us. And James is being very specific about how we should be treating one another. And one of the things that he's focused on is what we say. Sometimes what we don't say. No matter how we see the world or the people in it, we never should lose sight of the fact that we serve Jesus at all times because He is everywhere. He's in everything that we encounter in our daily life. And our tongue, again, as we read in James, can be a terrible weapon and can destroy relationships that may have taken a lifetime to develop. This toothpaste example, it's an old adage for Sunday school to use the toothpaste to. Once the words are out, you can't take them back. And somebody that's been in a long-time relationship, two people have been in a long-time relationship, as I said, it may have taken a lifetime to develop. One word can break that down. We see that so often in congregation life and in church life. So the question for me, and it's a fundamental question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to each one of us? It's a fundamental question of our time. And even though Jesus is saying in the Gospel of Mark, and James is saying in his letter, in this terrible age in which we live, which was back then, we live in a terrible age today in so many ways. Because the question of who Jesus is still remains. And the way we treat one another still remains. Is Jesus just someone who lived 2,000 years ago and said some nice things? Does Jesus have anything to do at all with church that we have today? And I know that sounds like a silly question, but it's something to think about. Does Jesus have anything to do with our world today? Does He even fit into our world today? The world at large, sort of the people outside the spectrum of church, have a lot to say at times about who they think Jesus was and is. But again, the real issue for us as Christian people and gathered here this morning, and the lesson that we're trying to drive out of what we see in James and in Mark in particular, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Jesus' word in the Gospel of Mark, it's also found in Matthew, as Renata referenced this morning, they're extremely important in establishing who He was and is to come. Last week was a turning point in the ministry of Jesus when Jesus spoke with a Syrophoenician woman. She wasn't Jewish. And up to that point in His ministry, He was only talking to Jewish people. And now the Syrophoenician woman comes to Him, and now He's including her in the family of God and in the message of the gospel. It's broadened that out to include all of us here. But today's reading is a fundamental point that I think we need to be asking, especially in 2018. Who do you think Jesus is? There's a lot of controversy about this. And so much controversy that it's created a split in the church that happened 500 years ago, where we had the Catholic Church and the Reformed Church, or the Reformation that took place, and Protestant churches at large, but didn't stop there. The Catholic Church continued to divide and does today. There are subsets within the Catholic Church. And you look it up on Wikipedia, you'll see how many there are. And there are subsets within the Protestant Church. Look it up on Wikipedia, you'll see the hundreds of denominations that have split up because the fundamental question, who is Jesus? You get more than two people in the room, more than one person in the room, you're going to have some disagreement on that. One of the problems that's happening in this particular story that we read in Mark is the concept of Messiah. And something that is important contextually for us, here's a historical point, something that's important for us to understand contextually is in the day that Jesus was alive, how you died reflected the kind of person and life you lived. I'll say it again. How you died reflected the kind of person you were and life that you lived. So when Jesus tells the disciples that this Messiah is going to die and be killed and die, wait a minute, you can't do that. Messiahs don't do that. I also probably need to define the word Messiah. We think that that means only Jesus. But that term Messiah, which we now have, we have to move that, that's a Hebrew word, move that into Greek, which is Christos, and then move that into English, which is Christ. So it's Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Christos, Jesus the Messiah. Messiah means anointed one or anointed king. One whose beard has been coated in oil in the Old Testament. And I talked a number of weeks ago about the Bar Kokhba revolt that took place after the time of Jesus. He was considered a Messiah. And he was considered to be a real good Messiah because he was fighting a battle against Rome. That's what Messiahs do. Messiahs fight for the people and free them. And Jesus came along talking about fighting for the people and freeing you. But then he died. He mustn't have lived a very good life because the Messiah doesn't die. And on top of that, for Jewish people, cursed is the one who dies on the tree from the Old Testament. And that's what he died on. He was crucified. So there's no way he can be the real Messiah. That's why Peter comes up, quit saying that in public. It's okay if you want to talk to us, but don't open up in public and say to the people, I'm going to die, and I'm going to die on a cross. Because, you know, that's not Messiah talk. Peter jumps out initially declaring Jesus the Messiah. And it sounds brave of him, and it is brave of him. Jesus looking right in your face. Who do you say I am, Peter? You're the Messiah. Let's go out here, over here, as it says in Mark. Go out publicly and I'll tell you about how I'm going to die. You can't do that. And that's why Jesus says, get behind me. You're taking me off the focus here. My job on this earth is to die on that cross and not be revived from death, as some people say about Jesus, but to be resurrected from the dead. A fundamental concept that as an observer of various congregations and denominations in my life, not everybody believes. We read extremes in the paper and see them in the news. I guess it's about a year ago now, it was a big thing, it's quieting down, there's other things to talk about the United Church minister in Toronto who doesn't believe in God. And she holds services every Sunday and the place is packed. That's what she believes about Jesus. That's what her perception of this is. You don't even need to talk about God, let's just be spiritual. And everybody's flocking to that. And the reason for that, I think, is that it's not church. Less so much the issue about God and Jesus, it's more the issue about church and the way people perceive the way church has evolved over time. Who am I? Asks Jesus. Some of the people that were there reported to the disciples that he was John the Baptist. Well, we know that he wasn't John the Baptist. He was killed by this point. He was dead. So there's no way that he was John the Baptist. But interesting that they still held to that story. Because John came out looking like a Messiah. He came out of the desert. He was wearing camel hair clothing. He ate nothing but locusts and honey. He talked about repentance and coming back to God. But he died and had his head cut off. Again, the kind of life you live and the person you are is reflected in your death. So clearly he couldn't have been anything much in their eyes. Others say that Jesus was Elijah. Elijah had talked about coming back. And if you ever get the opportunity to take part in a Seder meal, which is the, we have it our Easter time, but it's the Passover meal for Jews, when they set the table, there's one chair empty. And that chair is empty because Elijah said he would return. And that chair is kept for Elijah in case he comes to the door knocking, so he can join that family in their meal. So maybe he's Elijah, who got taken up by the wheel within the wheel. There's an old hymn about that. And he didn't die. He didn't die badly either. He went away pretty good. So maybe he's coming back. So maybe this is Elijah. But Elijah wouldn't be talking about being killed. Maybe he's just one of the prophets, one of the lesser known prophets. He's a man of God who's hearing the voice of God and saying the words that need to be said. But that can't be right because prophets don't die horrible deaths. That will reflect badly on who they are and the life they lived. These people were very excited to see Jesus on earth. very excited to see some of the miracles that he was performing, but were ultra excited that he was going to free them from Roman occupation. He was going to be their Messiah and kick the occupiers out of the country. They missed the point. And even the disciples were missing the point. And my point today is that very often we too miss the point. Who is Jesus to you? Each one of us has to consider this. Is he Savior? Did he die and rise from the dead? Did he take the keys of death and free us from that cycle? Are the words that he has to say that we find in Scripture true? Is there something more to life than just this? You see, it's a fundamental question. Because however you and I answer that individually will define our faith and our religion and why we're here. And it's something that we should be considering all the time. Who is Jesus to you and to me? And consider the words that you attach to that. Because Peter had some words. Messiah. Peter always reminds me of that kid that's in class. There's one, right? If you've taught Sunday school or been in a classroom, so I know some of you here are teachers in past lives. There's always one kid got all the answers. I'm dating myself when I say, ooh, Mr. Cotter, I guess. But there's always one kid that's got the answers. And that was Peter in this particular group. Always jumping forward with a response. Who do you say that I am? Messiah. Well, I'm going to die, and, that's going to happen, and these people are going to put me to death, and it'll be on a tree. Get at the front again. Don't say that. That's the wrong answer, and you're the teacher. Who do you say that Jesus is? Your answer also defines how you and I respond to one another and how we relate to the world in which we live. If Jesus just said nice things, lots of people said nice things and we don't need to be here. Jesus tells us to love one another as he loved us to death. Sacrificing of self. James is hitting a nail on the head when he's talking about problems that have occurred within the congregations that he knows. People say mean things without even knowing it sometimes, but more often than not, fully knowing it. And those mean things hurt. And there's a video that I saw. Somebody took a large piece of wood and drilled all kinds of holes in it and put matches in all the holes. So the whole board is covered, you know, a quarter inch from one another, all these matches, and they light one of them. And the whole thing goes off, as you would expect. It just takes one word sometimes to set the whole thing afire. And that's James's complete analogy, is what he's saying. But that reflects who we think Jesus is, doesn't it? The other way of looking at this, as I close this off, is that people are going to see Jesus in you and I. And what they think about Jesus is in your life and in my life. We are Christians. We are church-going Christians here in this room today. And everybody is watching us, whether you think so or not. Everybody who doesn't come to this, to a church, not this church, but to a church, anyone who does not consider themselves to be a Christian is looking at each one of us, and we're Jesus to them. And I know from my own life experience, the number of times in my previous job, because I was not shy about saying that I went to church and that I was a believer, I know that there were many times people came to me and wanted to know more about my faith simply because of what I did or didn't do, the way I conducted myself in my work. Each one of us has that same responsibility. We reflect who Jesus is in the life we live and the choices that we make. And that's a terrible responsibility in so many ways. And by terrible, I don't mean horrifying. I mean it's a heavy weight to think that people are looking at us and what we do or say tells them all we know about Jesus. And for many people who've never been to a church and never been in a circle of Christians, that may be the only experience they get. Remember this. You may be, and I may be, the only experience that that person gets to understanding that answer to who do you say I am. It's, for me, sometimes it's crushing. I don't want to move. I get to that point. I don't want to move. But God gives us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us so that we can answer that question and live that question. James, scripture in total, but James in particular, gives us a really solid guideline here. Shut your mouth. Speak little, listen a lot. Before you open that mouth and let that tongue wag, think about what's coming out of it first. So often we don't. How others see us reflects who we think Jesus is. We are called to follow the living God in Christ Jesus, and that can be difficult at times. It can be difficult even to define the margins around that. It can be a very difficult thing to understand at times, but it is equally an easy thing to do because we are simply not living by a set of rules and guidelines that Jesus gave us. We are living by the power of the living God in Christ Jesus. We are living by the power of the living God in Christ Jesus, and that gives us the power and guidance we need beyond any rules, regulations, or even political affiliations, as we read about with this whole mess that's going on in this story about who's Roman and who isn't. We are truly a people of faith if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of this world. Who is Jesus to you? Amen. In the face of adversity, the prophet Isaiah calls to the people, let us stand up together. This is a call to us as well, to stand together with our offerings given for the well-being of the church and the outreach of this congregation to those in need. And we will receive our offerings now.